always thought-provoking and informative. Forget the spin and media bias from the left and right. We know you are sick and tired of being told what to think, how to act, and what you can and can't do. Direct from the Ustream It Broadcast Network, it's time for another edition of the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show with your hosts, J.D. Williams and T.L. Farley. Real news and biblical common sense analysis starts in 3, 2, 1.
Well, hello, everybody, and thank you so much for joining us for another edition of the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams, located here in beautiful East Texas, and, probably about 80 miles away, something like that, is my good friend, my co-host, my brother in Christ, located there in Dallas, Texas, Mr. T.L. Terry Farley. How are you doing today, Terry?
Doing okay so far, but I'm not bragging. I'm waiting.
Yeah. That's all that we can do. Wait and watch. Wait and watch. Y'all just kind of hang in there with the wait and watch thing, okay? Because I guarantee you, this show is all about watching and looking for one specific individual. There's a lot of Christians all across the world looking for the same individual, and if you hadn't followed the show, you might want to go back and look at it a little bit, and you'll figure it out. Of course, we go into it too. We're going to be talking about the return to Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah, I say that the world is returning to Sodom and Gomorrah. This is part three of our As in the Days of Noah series, in which the Lord spoke that he would be returning to pick up his church and get them out of the way before the great tribulation, and that the key to that, the signs that was going to happen, is the world would be returning to the days of Noah, and included in that is also is Lot and his influence in Sodom and Gomorrah. So, yes, the world is keyed up for it. The world is approaching the same type of situation that existed in the time of Noah, in the time of Lot, and is returning to the ways of the completely destroyed by God cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. So anyway, we'll be talking about that today in great detail. And I do want to first get the news out of the way. Don't have a lot of items today that'll make everybody happy, I hope, because we're going to be focusing on Scripture. But let's listen to the Week in Review, something that we like to do here on this day, final weekday that we do the shows each week.
From Feature Story News in New York, I'm William Denslow with the Week in Review. July is set to be the hottest month on record, according to climate scientists. Data from the World Meteorological Organization and Copernicus Climate Change Service shows global heat waves have contributed to the soaring average temperature. And US President Joe Biden has announced steps to help Americans cope with the extreme heat much of the population has been experiencing over recent weeks. Sally Patterson reports.
Climate change is here, it's happening, and this is just the beginning. That was the stark warning from United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres on Thursday. He was referencing new data showing the first 3 weeks of July were officially the hottest ever recorded in human history. And things aren't about to cool down anytime soon. According to the National Weather Service, nearly 40% of the US population currently faces heat advisories.
The United Nations has condemned a coup in Niger and urged all parties to refrain from violence. Military officials say the takeover was triggered by poor economic and social governance, as well as a deteriorating security situation in the West African nation. Speaking to the media from the capital on Friday, UN representative in Niger, Nicole Kouassi, said its operations are still continuing on the ground. More than 3.3 million people in the country receive food aid from the UN. Kouassi says she's concerned about the border and airspace closures, as this could affect their humanitarian operations.
The staff on the ground are delivering the assistance. The international NGOs, the humanitarian community as the principle of intervention, and they are intervening to assist the population as it was planned.
The United States says Ukraine's counteroffensive against Russia is now in full swing in the country's southeast. Pentagon officials have told local media in the US that thousands of reinforcements are being deployed into the battlefield. many of them trained and equipped by the West. Jody Jacobs reports.
These reports from Pentagon officials are in line with reports coming out of Ukraine on Wednesday that indicate extensive artillery battles flaring up along the southern front line in the Zaporizhia region. This was even confirmed by the Russian Defense Ministry, which is reported to have said a massive assault and fierce battles are raging in the south of Ukraine. Armed with about 100 armored vehicles, including German-made Leopards and American-made Bradley fighting vehicles, it suggests a new phase of Kiev's counteroffensive might be well underway.
And Donald Trump's been slapped with new charges in connection to his alleged mishandling of classified documents. The former president's accused of ordering staff to delete surveillance footage from his home in Florida. Trump has denied wrongdoing and says the Justice Department has been weaponized against him. From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
Boy, they're really quick to talk about Trump, but I didn't. Did you hear any mention about Hunter Biden?
No, I didn't.
Did you hear any mention about the impeachment process that's ongoing against President Biden for his illegal activities both before and after becoming president of the United States?
I missed that.
I missed that one too, right? Okay. Did you happen to hear where Eric Swalwell, that he got into a heated argument with McCarthy, the Speaker of the House? Did you happen to hear that?
No, I didn't.
Did you happen to hear about the North Korean meeting with China and with Russia and how they were praising the missile systems that Chairman Kim has there in North Korea, you know, the ones that were banned by the world, but he gave him a tour of these things and gave him compliments. Did you happen to hear any report about that?
I did catch that, yeah.
Okay, and so here's the thing, people. They want to give you, want to distract you from what's actually going on in the world. Let me tell you what the deal is with President Trump. Here's the deal. He didn't do anything wrong, in my opinion, and I'm reporting this as a member of the U.S. Press Association. Okay? Yeah. He didn't do anything wrong to be impeached once. He didn't do anything wrong to be impeached twice. He didn't do anything wrong to possibly be impeached a third time. He didn't do anything wrong to be charged with anything anywhere in any court, even though they go on about it. You know why they're doing all this? Because they know if he's on the ballot and Biden's on the ballot, that the Senate is going to switch completely to the Republicans, the Congress is going to switch completely in control of the Republicans, and that Donald Trump is going to beat the ever-living daylights out of President Biden and will return to become not the 45th president, but the 47th president of the United States. That's what it's all about. Let's stop him. We've got to get him off the ballot, because if we don't get him off the ballot, he's going to win, and he's going to turn back all these things that Biden has done. Thank God. Because Biden has only destroyed everything since he's been in office. Tell me one good thing the man's done. And, you know, I don't want to get into a lot of politics. You know, I hate discussing politics. But the fact of the matter is, the man has been an utter disaster. The worst president in the history of the United States. And it's tough. It's really tough to top Obama and Carter. But he did it. And he doubled it.
Yeah.
Any comments there, Terry?
Biden can be proud of the fact that he's going to go down in history, unless somebody, I can't imagine anybody worse, but he's going to go down in history as the worst president that we've ever had, bar none. Yeah. It's just phenomenal.
Again, all of this is my opinion and Terry's opinion, but I believe. And I honestly believe this from my heart as a citizen of the United States, protected under the Constitution of the United States, as long as they keep allowing the Constitution to be a part of us anyway. I simply believe that we should understand that this country is on a fast track to utter destruction if we don't do something really, really quick. Again, all of this has been our opinion only. Take it or leave it. You know, that's the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to have free speech. We're supposed to be allowed to have opinions. Anybody that's got a different one, they can have theirs too. Okay, but don't get upset when I express mine. and I'm speaking primarily to people like Zuckerberg or whatever the heck his name is. Anyway, don't get upset when people have a brain and when they have a mind and when they decide to speak about it. Okay, it's not going to hurt you. Trust me, it's really not. Okay, here is that report that they really didn't detail too much, but let's listen to this one.
Russia's defense minister accompanied North Korean leader Kim Jong-un to a defense exhibition that featured the North's banned ballistic missiles as the neighbor's pledge to boost ties, North Korean state media reported on Thursday.
The Russian minister, Sergei Shoigu, and a Chinese delegation including a Politburo member arrived in North Korea this week for the 70th anniversary of the end of the Korean War celebrated in North Korea as Victory Day. For North Korea, the arrival of the Russian and Chinese delegations marks its first major opening up to the world since the coronavirus pandemic. Harry Michaels reporting.
Okay. And then we're going to move on to this because this is Israel. Okay. And it's the most important piece of real estate in the world. So listen to this.
With FSN Spotlight, I'm Simon Marks. It's been an alarming week in Israel after the Knesset passed judicial reform proposals presented by the government of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, resulting in mass protests and the use of water cannon by the authorities against demonstrators. So what is the judicial reform all about? Jonathan Friedland of The Guardian is host of the podcast Unholy.
The claim of their critics, and I think they're echoed by the White House and others, is that this will essentially gut the power of the judiciary, the courts, to exercise any kind of restraint on the government of the day. And there are no other checks and balances in Israel. It's just a quirk of its own system. There's no written constitution. There's no second chamber. There's not even an unwritten constitution that everyone sort of adheres to. And therefore, it means you're looking at a government that has almost untrammeled power. And therefore, people are making comparisons that this will turn Israel into kind of Erdogan's Turkey or Viktor Orban's Hungary and make it an illiberal democracy, if you like. In other words, there'll still be elections, but there won't be those checks and balances that people rely on. And that's why those huge crowds are out on the streets.
Opposition leader Yair Lapid says he wants the Supreme Court to annul the new law. Prime Minister Netanyahu says it's needed to allow the government to deliver on its promises. The White House says the law's passage is unfortunate. With FSN Spotlight, I'm Simon Marks.
For the United States to comment on this is unfortunate, okay, because we got nothing to do with Israeli politics. But let me just say something here really, really quickly. If the courts can override every law just because, no reason, they just say, okay, we don't agree with it, so it's overturned, then what good are elections? Mm-hmm. Why does a legislature, or in this case, the Knesset of Israel, if they pass a law, okay, if they pass a law and the prime minister signs it into law, and then the Supreme Court of Israel, no other court, this is just the Supreme Court of Israel, steps in and says, no, we don't like that law, you can't have it. That means they got more power than everybody else, and that's not, they don't consider that to be an abuse, but instead, the democratic process is the abuse. The people that destroy the democratic process, that's not abuse. That's stupid. That makes no sense whatsoever. So what they've done in Israel is made common sense changes to their judicial system. And those people that oppose it, they don't like Israel. And for the most part, they're secular. I read a poll on that. I'm not just making that up. Most people do not believe in God that are sitting out there in the streets and they're protesting. Did they use water cannons on them? I don't know. What were they doing to deserve the water cannon? And maybe if they didn't do whatever it was that they did, maybe we couldn't get pounded with one. They ever think of that? Okay. All right. I've said enough. That's enough.
Hang on just a
that
second.
That is enough
politics.
I've got
Israel calling.
Okay. All right. I'm gonna mute you. I'm gonna mute you for a minute, Terry. You just let me know when you're back. Okay. Now, we are going, as I said, to be discussing a return to the days of Noah and a return to Sodom and Gomorrah, or at least the activities that they believed in. Now, at this point, what I wanted to do was have Terry come on here and do his 2 minutes with Terry. But instead, and I'm going to hope he's done by the time I read this, I had in the last show read a comment concerning the number 7. as it is compiled by the Bible Studies Tools Comm staff, because the number 7 is a very important number in the Bible. And I said then, and I'm reading this directly from their reporting, that the number 7 is quite significant in the Bible, appearing over 700 times throughout both the Old and New Testaments. In biblical numerology, 7 symbolizes completion or perfection. God created the world in 6 days and rested on the 7th. Additionally, there's 7 churches in the book of Revelation, 7 seals, 7 trumpets, and 7 bowls. The number 7 is also associated with important biblical figures, such as the 7 deacons chosen by the apostles and the 7 spirits of God mentioned in Revelation. And some scholars believe that the number 7 represents divine intervention or spiritual completeness. Overall, the number 7 holds significant meaning in the Bible and continues to be studied and analyzed by theologians and scholars today. Now, I had not given Terry an opportunity to respond to that because we were completely out of time. And if he's not off the phone yet, he's not going to be able to explain it again today. But I wanted to give him an opportunity to reply to that or give his indication of it, because I firmly believe that that is a very, very important part. But again, he's not off the phone yet. He's on the phone with his son, Daniel, who just happens to be in Israel. And we're not going to listen into that conversation. I'm sure Terry will have some comments on it. Instead, we're going to move right along, and we're going to begin our march toward Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, I hate to do this in the way that I'm going to have to do this. And by that, I mean, I don't like to get into a lot of begats, you know, this person begat this one and this one begat that one. And I want you to understand that when we do this, it's important because we're going to be establishing genealogy, and genealogy is extremely important. But let's look at the fact that Noah constructed the ark, and of course they were locked into the ark by the Lord. And I'm going to put that scripture back up on screen here real quick, and we'll look at it. This is from Genesis 7, verses 13 through 16. On the very same day that Noah and Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife, and the 3 wives of his sons with them, entered the ark. They and every beast after its kind, all cattle after their kind, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth after its kind, and every bird after its kind, every bird of every sort. And they went into the ark to Noah, 2 by 2, of all flesh in which the breath of life, so those that entered, male and female, of all flesh, went in, and God had commanded him, and the Lord shut the door. And we talked about that in the last show, Terry, that the Lord, yeah, I see you, that the Lord shut him in. We talked
God
about
shuts
that.
The door.
Yeah. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. I wasn't able to get to let you have your say on the number 7. But unfortunately, you gave that up. Daniel took it from you. Daniel took it from you.
Yes.
Okay, we're moving on.
He was
we're
in
moving
Israel.
On. Okay,
so.
We're moving on. Okay, so I want to now go to Genesis chapter 7, and this is verses 17 through 20. Terry, if you want to read that, go ahead.
Alrighty, now the flood was on the earth 40 days. The waters increased and lifted up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. The waters prevailed and greatly increased on the earth, and the ark moved about on the surface of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly on the earth, and all the high hills under the whole heaven were covered. The waters prevailed 15 cubits upward, and the mountains were covered.
Do you have any idea, because I don't, what the length of a cubit in,
It varies from somewhere around 17 or 16 inches up to 20, 21 inches, something like that. That's a rough guesstimate, but that's where they put it at. Okay. And I want to throw in, because it's fresh and I don't want to lose it.
Okay.
People talk about the, you could leave that up for just a second, but so people can see that what I'm saying is okay. There in the scripture. Verse, oh,
wait,
verse
we got
19.
The wrong one. Hold on.
Okay, verse 19. There we go. Verse 19, and the waters prevailed exceedingly on the earth, and all the high hills under the whole heaven were covered. You know, there's a debate that some people try to say, well, it was a localized flood. It was just that area. Mm-hmm. This verse here proves that it was the entire earth. Now, you should get that from everything else, but if you're really still not sure, verse 19 nails it for you. Yeah. It says under the whole heaven. So yeah. There was a worldwide flood. It wasn't just a mud puddle or a localized flood.
Yeah.
You
said that proves it. That doesn't prove it. That's what he wrote. But I can tell you what proves it, and that's science.
Yeah.
Science proved it. You know, if you go any scientist, you go across the world. For instance, the Grand Canyon. You can go to the Grand Canyon. They can they can tell you exactly where water levels were and that type of thing. I mean, there are certain mountains, certain areas in the world that you know. They say, "Oh, yeah, there was an event here at about this time." You know. So anyway. Science has proven what was written in the Bible, and the beautiful thing is that every time science tries to prove it wrong, which was really what they were trying to do with that, they always end up proving it right. Go ahead, Terry.
Yeah. Well, and first of all, as an example to support what you're saying, they have found seashells and so forth on top of Mount Everest. Just to give you an example.
kind of crazy, huh?
Going back to your science comment, that all of the science that we have today absolutely supports it. However, we cannot rely totally on science.
No.
For the simple fact that what happens is science has been catching up with the Bible all through. And there have been times in centuries past, even up until our recent past, and even today, where there are arguments about, well, this isn't really true. We don't know this. We can't prove this. But what we go, Christians go by, is the Word of God. I can't explain half, a quarter, an eighth of what the Bible says. I can't explain it. That's how great the Bible is.
Yeah.
But when it says it, I believe it. If there comes a time when I need to understand it, God will provide that understanding. And that's not just Terry. That's anyone that wants to seek God's knowledge. So,
amen.
But because you don't, as an example, you don't understand the resurrection. No, that's by faith. And you have to ask God to give you that faith. And Jesus said, if you ask, you will receive. This is God working. I just wanted to throw that in.
Okay. All right. Sounds good to me. We're going to go ahead and move on here to Genesis. Again, we're still in chapter 7, verses 21 through 24, and I'm going to put it up here real quick for you, Terry, if you don't mind.
And all flesh died that moved on the earth, birds and cattle and beasts and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of the spirit of life. All that was on the dry land died. So he destroyed all living things which were on the face of the ground, both man and cattle, creeping thing and bird of the air. They were destroyed from the earth. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive. And the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days.
Yeah, and of course, again, the Bible was clear that the only living souls on there were Noah and his family. And again, no disrespect intended. I'm not judging anybody that's part of the LGBTQ plus community. But I will say this, as a person, as a human being in the year 2023 and as a Christian, I'm sure glad there weren't any members of the LGBTQ plus community on that ark? Because if so, I might not be singing here. Probably wouldn't be. Neither would you, Terry. Because mm-hmm. God created man yeah. and woman. Okay. And they have yes. had a purpose, which was, of course, to fill the mm-hmm. earth. So I know the mm-hmm. drive right now is to reduce world population. And maybe that's what a lot of that community is about. I don't know. I'm not judging again. But I'm just telling you, you know, from the Bible says, go forth and multiply. Okay. We're almost at the end of this show or the first half of this show. I'm going to go ahead and put one more scripture up in here, and hopefully we can get it in. This is Genesis chapter 7, verses 21 through 24. Terry?
And all flesh died that moved on the earth, birds and cattle and beasts and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth and every man.
Okay, hold on. I put the wrong one up there. Hold on one second. I want to get the correct one up here for you, which is moving on to Genesis chapter 8, and this is verses mm-hmm. 1 through 5. Go ahead.
Then God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the animals that were with him in the ark, and God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters subsided. The fountains of the deep and the windows of heaven were also stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained, and the waters receded continually from the earth. At the end of the 150 days, the waters decreased. Then the ark rested on the seventh month, the 17th day of the month, on the mountains of Ararat, and the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains were seen.
Okay. Now, very, very quickly, I'm going completely off topic here because we do have some breaking news. This has been reported by the San Joaquin Valley Sun out in California that there has been a secret biological lab uncovered in Reedy, which contains bioengineered COVID rats. Now, I'm going to do a little research between the first and second half of the show and read this and make sure I get everything correct. So y'all kind of disregard what I just said about the COVID rats for right now. I know it's got something to do with COVID, and I know it's a secret lab. I'll put it to you like that, okay? And when we come back from the break, I'm going to have a little bit more information for you. So y'all hang in there with us, and we'll be back right after the break with the second half of the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show. Hang on. We'll be right back.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Just a really quick reminder that the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show is proud to partner with a great educational program for youth based on solid Christian principles and values. Now, as a parent concerned about what your children are exposed to and learning in public schools, you will appreciate the opportunity to learn about Kirkwood's Christian Online Learning Program that will keep your kids engaged and learning, all without worrying about the type of curriculum being presented to them. It only takes a few minutes to set up the program, and your kids can begin working independently on any device, including desktop computers, laptops, tablets, iPads, even smartphones. Now, you can learn more about this program on the Last Christian website at www.lastchristian.net. That's www.lastchristian.net for all of the free information on Kirkwood's homeschool learning program for kids. And hey, get this, the whole program, well, it only costs you about a dollar a day. It doesn't get better than that. Visit us at www.lastchristian.net. That's www.lastchristian.net and receive your information all about Kirkwood's homeschooling learning program for kids.
Here's the latest from the KRRB Newsroom. This is the latest news headlines in 60 seconds with Alan Edwards.
Russia's defense minister accompanied North Korean leader Kim Jong-un to a defense exhibition that featured the North's banned ballistic missiles as the neighbors pledged to boost ties, North Korean state media reported on Thursday. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau announced a sweeping reshuffling of his cabinet, the largest overhaul of his government to date.
Trudeau fired three prominent cabinet ministers and seemed to restructure the portfolios of some of the other positions.
The Justice Department on Wednesday filed paperwork asking a judge to order Texas Governor Greg Abbott to take action and have the floating barrier in the Rio Grande removed. A tearful Kevin Spacey said he was humbled after a jury in a London court found him not guilty on Wednesday of carrying out multiple sex assaults on four men.
After 12 hours and 26 minutes of deliberation, the jury acquitted the Oscar-winning U.S. actor.
What is dedication?
My biggest fear in the middle of my addiction was that my kids wouldn't have a father. And I started thinking, you know what? This isn't my story. I definitely had to become a better man to be a better father. It's important to me that my kids are empowered and truly believe that if they can think it, they can do it.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
And welcome back to the second half of the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show. Again, my name is J.D. Williams here in East Texas. Joining me there from Dallas, my co-host, Mr. T.L. Terry Farley. Terry, I want to move on here in the book of Genesis. We're going to go to chapter 8. Honestly, I can't remember if we covered this in the first half or not because I got distracted. Again... I'm going to finish up the report that that I was giving y'all. And please remember, this is breaking right now. So it's not that I've got everything on this yet, okay? But I can tell you that these reports are verified. I already looked through a couple of other reports. But this is a secret biological lab that's uncovered in Reedy. It contains bioengineered COVID-19 mice. The lab is operating in virtual secrecy. This is in Fresno, on a Fresno County farm, featuring a variety of viral bacterial agents, including COVID-19. The code enforcement officers in this town, and by the name, again, this is... Reedley, R-E-E-D-L-E-Y, California, discovered the secret biological lab in a warehouse that contained nearly 1,000 bioengineered mice that were designed to carry the COVID-19 virus. The discovery has resulted in Fresno County Department of Public Health, the Centers for Disease Control, Prevention, the CDC, the FBI, the California Department of Public Health, and other agencies are being brought in to deal with this situation. Again, this is breaking news out of California, and I can only imagine why somebody would want bioengineered COVID-infected mice. I mean, we can guess, but I don't have facts on it right now. So I'm going to leave that one where it is. Terry, I'm going to leave that where it is because, again, I don't have facts right now to let me know what's going on. If you think about a terrorist activity, that would be the first thing that jumps into my mind. But, again, that would be unconfirmed and speculative on my part right now. So we'll move on from that, and we'll get right back into Genesis. Again, this is chapter 8, and we're going to go with verses 1 through 5, which is Noah's deliverance. Terry, if you'd be so kind.
Then God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the animals that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters subsided. The fountains of the deep and the windows of heaven were also stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained, and the waters receded continually from the earth. At the end of the 150 days, the waters decreased. Then the ark rested in the seventh month and the 17th day of the month on the mountains of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains were seen.
Okay, and I guess we should just keep rolling here. I'm going to go to, again, now this is Genesis chapter 8, and we'll move on to verses 6 through 12.
So it came to pass at the end of the 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. Then he sent out a raven, which kept going to and fro until the waters had dried up from the earth. He also sent out from himself a dove to see if the waters had receded from the face of the ground. But the dove found no resting place for the sole of her foot, and she returned into the ark to him, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and took her and drew her into the ark to himself. And he waited yet another 7 days. And again he sent the dove out from the ark. Then the dove came to him in the evening, and behold, a freshly plucked olive leaf was in her mouth. And Noah knew that the waters had receded from the earth. So he waited yet another 7 days and sent out the dove, which did not return again to him anymore.
You know, there's a lot in that scripture. When you,
yes,
you know, when you really examine it, there's a lot there. Number one, mm-hmm. You know, he sends out this dove. Okay, I guess we should start with a raven. I'm not really sure what the significance of the raven is,
yes.
But you do. Go ahead, tell us a little bit about the raven there, Terry.
Sure. The reason the raven was a tip-off is because, and I don't want to get too graphic here, but I want folks to understand what is being shown and indicated in this. Ravens eat flesh.
Okay.
And so when the raven went out, it found plenty of bodies floating on the water that it could land on, and it could feast, you know, to its heart content. There was no reason for it to ever come back.
Never even thought about, you know, never even crossed my mind. And I wish I had some supporting scripture to go along with that one, but I don't right now. I didn't research that deep enough to put scripture together for it. Now, as far as the dove goes, you know, you kind of look at that as your, you know, you're sending out a tester or whatever you want to look at, you know. So the dove flies around. Well, the dove needs a place to be. You know, it needs to land on something, and if it can't land on anything except water, and water, you know, you got a tired dove, he wants to come back in, or she wants to come back in, and so the dove returns because it couldn't find a place to land first time around, and then the second time around, it brings back, okay, look, I found this, you know, and that's a tip-off, right? So, Terry, you want to go in a little bit more detail? I probably didn't explain that one very good either.
Well, no, you were headed in the right direction exactly, because the dove went out and found a tree to land in and to get a branch, to get a twig with some leaves on it, and brought it back to the, you say, well, now, wait a minute, why didn't Noah say, okay, we're all set, we're home free? Because Noah wanted to make certain. So he waited another 7 days, sent out the dove. Now, what was the tip off there? This time, the dove did not return.
Right.
Because the dove said, hey, I'm in Fat City. I don't need to go back anywhere.
Right. And there you go. That's it exactly. Okay, so let's move on now to Genesis chapter 8, verses 6 through 12.
So it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark, which he had made. Then he sent out a just read this one.
Yeah, I did. Okay, that's on me. I apologize for that. This actually should be Genesis 8, chapter 8, verses 13 and 14. I apologize to everybody
there
for making that mistake.
Folks, he's got something like 75 or 80 of these slides, so you try to keep track yourself. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, that the waters were dried up from the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and indeed the surface of the ground was dry. And in the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth was dried.
Okay. You know, and this is an ongoing thing. It's an ongoing debate, ongoing discussion, ongoing investigation, or whatever you want to call it. Where in the heck is Noah's Ark? You know, I mean, all these years, you know, and again, science is always trying to discredit the Bible. But now we're talking thousands of years ago, and we're also talking about something that was built, you know, it's wooden, right? All right, so y'all cut down a tree, let it dry up, take that tree limb, set it out in your backyard, give it a couple of years. And, you know, personally, I'm not shocked that they can't come up with an ark, even though some have claimed to, and I don't know, maybe they have. I don't know. But I mean, it tells us that the, you know, this Mount Ararat, and I don't know, Terry, do you even know where Mount Ararat is? I mean,
okay. You actually asked the key question. The fact is, if you go over to that country and that area, and if you ask somebody, let's say there were three or four guys standing in a crowd, and you asked them, where's Mount Ararat? All four of them would point in different directions.
And they would all be
right, because the name Ararat over there is a very common name for a mountain. So when it says it was on Mount Ararat, you haven't gotten any closer to the problem than you needed to. That's why you have all of these expeditions going into different countries, Iran, Turkey, and so forth. I'm going to Mount Ararat. Oh, you are? Yeah. Well, which one are you going to? See, and that's part of the challenge that men are faced with when they begin that search.
Right. Again, you know, there have been people that have said that they found this, you know.
There have been several claims,
There's also, and I know this to be a fact, that there are certain areas over there that are controlled by certain countries that simply do not allow for expeditions into certain areas of those countries. We may never... No, I mean, now anyway, while our time on Earth, we may never find, you know, if there are anything left over, and I think there probably is, but we may never find it. That doesn't mean it didn't happen.
No.
I mean, it just means that we weren't privy to finding it. Okay. Terry, I was not able to give you 2 minutes in the first half of the show. And so I'm going to go ahead and give you your full time now,
and let you
have that. So I do want to, you know, give you just a second to get everything together that you need there. Just a really quick reminder that the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show is proud to partner with a great educational program for youth based on solid Christian principles and values. Now, as a parent concerned about what your children are exposed to and learning in public schools, you will appreciate the opportunity to learn about Kirkwood's Christian Online Learning Program that will keep your kids engaged and learning, all without worrying about the type of curriculum being presented to them. It only takes a few minutes to set up the program, and your kids can begin working independently on any device, including desktop computers, laptops, tablets, iPads, even smartphones. Now, you can learn more about this program on the Last Christian website at www.lastchristian.net. That's www.lastchristian.net for all of the free information on Kirkwood's homeschool learning program for kids. And hey, get this, the whole program, well, it only costs you about a dollar a day. It doesn't get better than that. Visit us at www.lastchristian.net. That's www.lastchristian.net and receive your information all about Kirkwood's homeschooling learning program for kids. Okay, and Terry, with that, sir, it is now your turn, so we're going to put you up, instead of 2 minutes with Terry, Well, you guys get 4 minutes with Terry starting right now.
Folks, homeschooling works. The last Christian from the book of Jude, we continue to forage deeper in that we may, the Lord willing, employ the charge to confirm God's word reveals for all who heed his prophetic proclamations our exact position here in the end times. Jude verses 3 and 4, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Jude divulges, though he was intending to encourage believers in our shared salvation, he was led by God to specifically exhort all followers of Jesus to earnestly contend and defend the faith delivered first to the saints. Because ungodly men have entered into the flock, such as happened in the days of Noah, morphing the grace of God into lasciviousness, even denying the Lord our God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Verses 5 through 7, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people of out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that they believed not, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Sound familiar or sound of freedom? Jude begins by taking them back down memory lane to events they all remember from the past, reminding them of God saving their ancestors out of Egypt, then having to judge unbelievers in the wilderness. Traveling back further, Jude reminds of the Genesis 6 angels lasciviously compromising the women of Noah's day, forcing God to destroy all living things on the earth by flood, reserving these angels in everlasting chains until judgment. Jude is now alerting believers that now certain men have again crept into the flock unawares, committing the same folly, these also denying Jesus and his word. Enoch continues, the flood did not totally eradicate the problem of evil, accounting the turning to the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, for which those wicked cities were destroyed, for giving themselves over in like manner as the angels to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth to an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. These sins emphasized by Jude to remind of final judgment. Jesus told of the rich man who ended up in hell, in torment. The rich man called, Father Abraham, have pity on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire. I am in agony in this fire. Maranatha, Lord Jesus, come quickly.
Amen, Terry. Again, right on our topic, as is usual.
Amen.
I want to get back right away into Genesis, and we're marching toward an explanation of Sodom and Gomorrah. We're marching toward telling you that just like in the days of Noah and just like in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, the world is returning to those days and embracing them worldwide. And this is something that the Lord spoke of in the New Testament of the Bible. We're focusing right now on the Old Testament in the very first book of the Bible. Again, God revealing the end from the beginning. So anyway, I want to get back into Genesis again, and let's look at this passage here. This is Genesis chapter 8. verses 15 through 19. Terry?
Then go to saying, go out of the ark, you and your wife, and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing of all flesh that is with you, birds and cattle and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, so that they may abound on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth. So Noah went out, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Every animal, every creeping thing, every bird, and whatever creeps on the earth, according to their families, went out of the ark.
Okay, and we're going to continue reading here. This is Genesis chapter 8, verses 20 through 22.
Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and took of every clean animal and of every clean bird, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease.
Shall not cease. Now, for those of you that believe that, climate change, and don't get me wrong here, I'm not saying that the climate doesn't change, but what I'm trying to say here is that God determines when the world ends, not man. Not man. Keep that in mind. Okay, here's God's promise to Noah in Genesis chapter 9, verses 1 through 5.
So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast of the earth, on every bird of the air, on all that move on the earth, and on all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hand. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs. But you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood. Surely for your lifeblood I will demand a reckoning from the hand of every beast. I will require it, and from the hand of man, from the hand of every man's brother, I will require the life of man.
Terry, you want to explain that one a little bit? There's a lot in this particular passage.
Sure. Yeah. He says that he's giving us the animals to eat. Not only up before this, men just were vegetarians. They just ate vegetable things. But he says now you can eat the vegetables also, but you can also eat the flesh of the animals.
Right.
And he said he wanted to make a point about if an animal became wild and killed a man, that he would require the life of that animal for doing that. He also pointed out that if a man slays a man, that man's life would be required of him
right.
for killing this other man. Right. So these are things that the law of Western civilization in particular are based upon, and that's where that all comes from.
Yeah, and you've got to remember that when this was written, we didn't have the Ten Commandments yet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I mean, this is kind of a precursor to that in many
That's
ways.
That's right. Amen.
Okay,
Amen.
So let's go ahead and move on here to Genesis 9, and this is verses 6 and 7.
Yeah, whoever sheds man's blood by man his blood shall be shed, for in the image of God he made man. And as for you, be fruitful and multiply. Bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply in it.
Okay, and again, that's another reference to what I was talking to before. You know, and I always have to emphasize this in order to not get in trouble with social media. I am not condemning, me personally, I am not condemning the LGBT community. But if they existed at this point in time, we wouldn't exist at this point in time. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just...
So, anyway,
let's look at Genesis chapter 9, verses 8 through 11.
Then God spoke to Noah and to his sons with him, saying, and as for me, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you. of all that go out of the ark, every beast of the earth. Thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth.
And that sort of answers the question about, you know, how come, you know, if he did it once with water, why didn't he do it again? Because he said he wouldn't. Mm-hmm. Genesis 9. Okay. So, you know, y'all can look at that one right there. But he made a promise that he would not destroy the earth by flood ever again.
Amen.
Moving on to Genesis 9, and this is verses 12 through 17.
Amen. And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. It shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. The rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." And God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me in all flesh that is on the earth."
Okay. All right. So, again, and I mentioned this in a previous show, that, you know, the rainbow, when you look at a rainbow, you look at all those colors, you got to remember, that's God's creation. God said, you know, that's a sign of his promise to the earth. And there it is in Genesis for all to see. All right, I'm going to try to get in one or two more verses here. We're going to look at Genesis 9, and this is verses 18 through 23.
"Now the sons of Noah who went out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Ham was the father of Canaan. These three were the sons of Noah, and from these the whole earth was populated. And Noah began to be a farmer, and he planted a vineyard. Then he drank of the wine and was drunk, and became uncovered in his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. But Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it on both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned away, and they did not see their father's nakedness."
Okay, and one thing that I really want to point out here is the naming there of Noah's sons. Okay, you got Shem, Ham, and I'm sorry, Terry, you'll have to pronounce the last one
for
me. Okay, so these are the three sons, and, you know, I told you guys that we were going to get into genealogy. It doesn't look like we're going to get to the genealogy today in this particular show. We'll take it up next time. I told you guys when we first started this series, it was going to be a while. Okay, so what I'm looking at is at least a couple more in this particular series. Then we're going to take a three-show break for something that Terry has suggested, and that is a prophecy conference. We'll have some surprise guest or two that'll be joining us for this. And so it's something for you guys to look forward to. But we're going to continue this. We're going to talk about Genesis next week. And we'll probably pick it up again after the prophecy conference has concluded. That is going to be three shows, three total hours there that I know you guys are going to really find interest in. But we're going to stick with this. We're going to go through it very carefully because it's something that needs to be expressed. That is if the good Lord gives us that time. And if he does, we will be back next time with another edition of the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show.
Thanks again for joining us today for the Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.